The Marty Shear Gold Show on Triple M.
Winner of Celebrity MasterChef 2021.
Here he is again. It's a big revolt. Revolt.
Oh!
Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. Nick Rebolt with us, Marty.
Ah, good morning, Nick.
Good morning, team.
Looking stunning, smelling wonderful, always.
Thanks. Just had some good floor time with Noni.
You did. The Italian Greyhound's in today and we love him.
Progress.
Mate, we were just chatting off air about Sam Fisher and some of the stuff that's gone on this week in the media, which you've been a part of and involved in. Of course, for people that don't know, Sam's had a big blip.
Yep.
And there's some allegations around him at the moment with regards to supply and dealing, I believe, of illegal substances. I don't want to go too far into that. Yep. I'm more interested in your relationship with him as a former teammate and friend.
Yeah, incredibly hard to see what's occurred. I mean, as teammates and friends, we were aware of some of Sam's issues to the extent we obviously weren't, but have been concerned for a while. And when something like this occurs, obviously you think about your role in what you could have done to change the course, I guess, of where Sam's ended up, particularly when we were playing footy together.
And were you aware? I mean, it sounds to me as though people knew that he may have been a bit of a party boy and didn't mind going hard.
I mean, as a teammate, Sam was loved by everyone.
Yeah.
And when I say loved, not loved in the sort of alpha male sense, but loved, you know, because he was a
lovely guy.
Lovely guy. But you know, he was the ultimate professional, and you know, he always gave great effort and prepared himself really well. But then when it was time to enjoy himself, he did that too. So we were aware of that as teammates. But I think things started to really unravel for him once he. Like properly unravel once he left the game. So this week,
because the suggestion was through the week, sorry Nick, that Ross Lyon didn't really understand the full extent of what was going on, and then that raises the issue of that doctor player confidentiality that we just spoke about off air, because he must have been having strikes, I would have thought.
Yeah, well, that's impossible to know.
Yeah, well,
unless
that's it.
You are the testing regime, or you're the club doctor, so it's impossible to know that, and that's potentially part of the problem with the current drug code, which I raised earlier in the week, as well as raising some of the issues that I still see that exist in the game, which is the transition of players from their time as players on an AFL list to out of the game, and what their lives look like now. I raised this on Monday, and there's probably been a little bit of the stuff that's gotten lost in translation over the course of the week. And I understand that when you stick your head out on a topic like this, there are going to be people that are going to want to kick it off.
What was the point you were trying to make?
And that's happened this week, which is fine because we're talking about it and it's a conversation. The point I was trying to make is that I am still aware of a number of guys, and since my comments on Monday, a number of players that I played with and other guys that I've never met before that have been in the AFL system have reached out, you know, either got my phone number or through social media or whatever, and said, thanks for raising it, because my experience, you know, probably wasn't as good as I felt it could have been coming out of the game.
Yeah.
Now, let me get one thing clear. This isn't about feeling sorry for AFL footballers, because AFL footballers have incredible opportunities. They have amazing support networks wrapped around them.
It's a welfare issue.
Absolutely. But I still think there are gaps. There are issues around holding players accountable to taking control of their lives on the way through. And some players are falling through the cracks. So all this was about was having the conversation and identifying who is going to take the lead on. Fixing is probably too strong a word, but reassessing the way we are doing things at the moment, because you know there are a lot of stakeholders that are interested in player welfare. The AFL would concede it's a massive issue. The PA would concede that the player transition is a massive issue. So the Players Association, if not them, then who are going to take the lead in championing this cause? So that's all the conversation has been about this week. Now, a lot of people have gotten defensive and said it's, you know, it's great, and it is great. There is a lot of support for AFL players.
But some people falling through the cracks.
That's right. So let's have the conversation.
In clubland, when the doctor finds out that somebody's had a strike, does he tell anyone? Does he tell the CEO? Does he tell the chairman?
Nope.
So nobody knows except the doctor?
No.
Well, that's not right.
Well, the argument would be that it's a medical model. And so I'm not a doctor. I'm not a drug expert. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a mental health expert. But
how does the club help if they've got a bloke they don't know's on two strikes?
That's the question. That's the question.
And then you lose the guy because
a targeted testing regime, and but the trouble is, like, so we've had the policy for what 15 years? I don't know. I'd be guessing with the number, but a long time. We've had one person test positive three times. One three striker, which I mean,
that's not reflective of what's going on.
So
what happens if you have two strikes at a club, swap clubs? You use clean
still
slate?
You've still got your two strikes.
So you could take a player on two strikes, and they third strike at your club.
That is possible.
That's a disaster.
Mm. That would be a disaster.
That's like saying...
But no one's going to have three strikes anymore because you can self-report. You go into a different part of the policy where...
So you go in and go, I had a big weekend, I made a bad decision.
You can do all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, so there is a little bit of wiggle room, which the AFLPA have come out and said that it's under review, which is good.
That should be cleared up pretty soon then, Nick.
That's right. So that's what all of this was about, having the conversation, because I've been aware of prior to Monday and post Monday a lot of guys that, you know, that maybe their lives could be in a little bit better shape if we just tighten things up a little bit.
And on a lighter note, having had a good deep dive into Sam Fisher's situation and the AFLPA, we can have a look at the round ahead. And, of course, I think the big one we would all agree is Collingwood-Carlton on Sunday.
Yep, it is. And I would love to go along this week and sit in between a Carlton and a Collingwood supporter.
Mm, cool. Mm,
yeah, because I think...
yes, sure.
Explain that, Nick.
Well, just maybe not in between, maybe behind.
Near them.
Yeah, near them. Just close enough to be able to be a part of the banter. And this is what we love about footy.
Because it feels Carlton are up
and
about.
It does. That's what it feels like. It feels like Carlton fans will walk into the stadium this time with their chests out, ready to celebrate a big win. Collingwood are playing sneaky good footy under Craig McRae. So two new coaches, old teammates. Have you seen some of the photos getting around this week of Michael Voss and Craig McRae?
Great old friends.
New Orleans.
But it'd be nice if they pulled out some of those sort of old outfits and you know, just for posterity's sake. But this is going to be an absolute beauty. So you'd expect 80,000 plus at the MCG on a Sunday. I think this is a good test for the AFL.
Mm.
So crowds have been down. Mm. A lot of excuses have been rolled out around, well, time, and it's just easier to watch it on TV.
Pandemic related.
Yeah. If this can't deliver a big crowd, 3:20 on a Sunday afternoon, do you see that being an issue, that time
slot? Absolutely.
Yeah.
The only thing I see about 3:20 is getting your kids ready for school the next day.
Yeah. That's been a time slot for years, though. That's the Channel 7 game. That's the big
and
one.
Look, I don't think Carlton, I don't think there'll be nothing that stops these supporters
Carlton
going
fans
to the ground.
Collingwood are a chance to win this game.
And Collingwood fans turn up every week, doesn't matter where they play.
No, in Collingwood news in the last 10 minutes as well, it's been revealed that Jordan Roughhead has retired.
Oh, wow.
Only one game so far this season in round 5, so he's had persistent injuries. And, he's made the announcement this morning.
Jeez, there you go.
Yeah, hot shoulder injuries.
Hot off the press. Is that a Will Rousen exclusive?
It is. That's not why Will's here.
A Kaltumi exclusive.
Right. When he's not rubbing and tugging, he is working hard.
Off the wires.
He is off the wires, mate, like everything in FM.
Oh, wow.
That's a separate conversation.
That sounds like
Sydney, Richmond tonight will be a belter.
It will be a belter. It will be superstars everywhere, which we love. So a couple of big outs for Richmond. Tom Lynch goes out of the side. Kane Lambert goes out of the side, which is a bit of a concern because he's kind of a what I would call a bit of a glue man, Kane Lambert. He comes in and things just seem to operate a little bit better when he's in the side. Mm-hmm. He's great defensively. He allows Martin to go forward. He frees Edwards up to be able to do his thing. The Tigers the last few weeks have started to look like or started to resemble what we saw a few years ago.
Yeah.
The trouble for them is can they just keep their players healthy. They've been smashed with injury. And Sydney need to turn it around a little bit because their last couple of weeks haven't been great. They've been smashed in contest. So that shapes as an absolute beauty tonight. What about your boys? They've been in the news all week. What have you made of it?
Look, there's definitely something going on at North Melbourne. You don't have three blokes bail out in the same week unless there's an issue, particularly with one of those gentlemen who does feel aggrieved and has said as much.
So can I ask you, as a fan, when they, and you might not have seen this, so they did like an in-house media stunt.
Yeah, I watched it.
Is that what you want to see as a...
Well, it was funny because I said on the show, a newsletter from the president is not going to be enough. And literally that afternoon you had Noble, Rawlings and Amalfio sitting on a couch. Not a lot of pushback from the young lady doing it, but you don't expect that. It was in-house. I don't know. There's stuff going on there that I just don't feel like I'm a part of and privy to. You know, they are really protesting that everything's okay. And history tells us that as soon as the CEO says that the coach has the full support of the board, very shortly after that, the coach is let go.
Yeah.
And Ben Amalfio's made me nervous in lots of different roles in his life, least of all being the CEO at North.
I feel like there's a bit more to that.
He was here for a while.
He was here for a while.
And then he was at Cricket Australia for a while.
Right.
What sort of response are you expecting from the Roos this Sunday?
You know what? They were good last week.
Yeah.
Against Melbourne.
I reckon they could beat St Kilda if St Kilda don't turn up.
Well, halfway through the third quarter against the best team in the competition, they were a goal down. And they were in that position based on great effort. So for all the criticism around David Noble going hard, being hard on the group, like I think I find that a really tough one because how else do you instill standards, you know, around effort if you're not hard on the group? So, yeah, there's a line, obviously. I don't think he's the issue.
I don't think Noble's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, there's a dearth of talent there. We know that. So they're going through a bit of a rebuild at the moment. You know, some of the conversations around their young players that they've recruited that aren't getting a game. Well, you don't just give players games.
No,
effort's a minimum standard.
And
until you can deliver on that, you don't pull on the jumper.
You would know better how young blokes go at football clubs. Obviously, having been a huge part of it, I'm a 50-year-old man that thinks if you can't square up on a young kid and tell him he's not achieving any of the goals we've discussed, I don't know how else you send that message than occasionally cracking the shits.
Might be a generational thing. I think
it is a generational thing. Yeah. And you know, I just hope. I don't know. Do you know what? I don't know. I'm not in the club. I haven't got a clue.
Well, let's hope they can turn it around. Melbourne Fremantle on, is that Saturday afternoon?
4:35.
Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday, yeah.
Saturday afternoon. MCG.
Yeah, the 4:35 slot on a Saturday.
the old traditional.
That's the grand final slot, though. Yeah.
It's probably lost a little bit of its luster because of Fremantle's form over the last 2 weeks. So, they've struggled to score. They've scored 33 and 44 points, respectively, the last 2 weeks, and they come up against the best defence in the competition in the D's. But the coach came out this week and said, we got ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
So they had the first loss against the Gold Coast, and then they got touched up last week against Collingwood. Sometimes the first loss isn't enough to really sting you. You think, we just had a bad week. But when you stack up two really poor ones in a row, that's when the coach can come out and get the big stick and give the group a bit of a dressing down, which he did. And it sounded like it almost a bit of an entire club address that we all got ahead of ourselves, because that can happen and that can sort of permeate through a club. So really excited to see how the Dockers respond in that one.
Good on you, Nick. What are you doing this weekend? Which one are you covering?
What have I got? I am doing a bit of the Gold Coast Hawthorn game tomorrow night into our show on Fox Footy,
which
Best
is
on Ground. Which
I've
is
heard.
Just going great.
Just
some
dominating.
Some of the
report.
Skits, mate. Just real.
I've
you
heard.
Know, stitch your sides up.
Hilariously,
after you watch
Melbourne
them.
Was one of the things I heard about it.
Yep, that's right. And then I appreciate you. And then on Sunday, I'm doing Carlton Collingwood.
Jag the big one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good on you, mate. Have a lovely weekend.
Yep, you too, guys.
Nick Revolt back with us next week.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.